Welcome to the Maria Heller Show, the internet's original podcast. Since the year 2000, always ahead of the curve, always on your side. A true warrior for truth and justice, Maria and her guests leave nothing out, and no one is off limits. There is only one truth, the rest is lies. Sit back, enjoy the education with a true daughter of Mother Earth. Sharp New York wit, spiritual knowing, and a very dry sense of humor, Maria will dissect the news and lies to make it all palatable. Education is power. Maria delivers rapid-fire truth like no one else can. Here she is, the mouth that roars, the legendary Maria Heller.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to Blood and Guts with one of my very favorite people on the planet, someone whose expertise I trust implicitly. Happy Jack. I'm going to call him Jack Blood. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning, Maria. Great being with you as always. And you know, I missed it, and I missed your audience, so I appreciate being on.
Well, I know they miss you too, and believe me, I miss you too, a lot. So much stuff since the last time we talked, but I wanted to kick off with, finally, David Rockefeller died. What'd you think about that?
That was weird in a lot of ways because I noticed a lot of people weren't that happy about it. People that should have been happy about it. And I guess we're not supposed to dance on the graves of
criminals,
the fascist controllers, because where I come from, that's one of the few joys you get in life. So, yeah, and you know how this goes, that I'm sure there was some ceremony, some kind of a planned occult ritual where he passed the torch and then they all dug in and ate his disgusting life-extended heart. Gross and disgusting, and yes, that's how our elite roll.
Right.
And so I started thinking about it, and he's just not going to go quietly into the night on the way to hell without any lube. I'm pretty sure he had something to keep his memory alive, and I'm calling this the David Rockefeller program and Death Wish program. So I'm trying to figure out what that is right now. I'm not exactly sure. I think it will make itself pretty apparent to us in the coming weeks, and I've got a few ideas on what it might be, but this is basically him putting a bunch of shadow money into an operation to do the things that even he might have creeped himself out if he did when he was alive. So I don't think it's over yet.
All right. Well, you know, some people, I found it very curious too. Because when I looked at social media, you know, a lot of fake news was putting him out there like he was this great philanthropist and wonderful human being. But on the other hand, you had a lot of people really ripping him to shreds, you know, ding dong, the witch is dead. I mean, all kinds of things. But I wonder if this guy, and I know it might sound crazy to some people, but you got to understand the kind of beings we're dealing with. I wonder if he's left something behind to be cloned. Or if he's just going to roll out in another form.
Well, you know, and it's fine to speculate on these things. Science is at a level that most of us wouldn't even be able to comprehend. We don't hear about things till 5-10 years after the fact, as fast as things go, even today. Mm-hmm. So it wouldn't surprise me, but his progeny and his legacy runs just as strong as it did before he died. And here was a guy that was, you know, 101 years old that still had this massive amount of power. And of course, yes, the media lionizes him as a great philanthropist and a great contributor to society, not mentioning one word about some of the things he did that could even be considered questionable. In fact, in the eyes of the mainstream media, fake news, is, I think you just called it, you know, he could do no wrong. So, you know, David is gone. Nelson is gone. The David and Nelson Towers are gone after 9/11. Mm-hmm. And like I said, his legacy will live on. You know, they have progeny. I know David has talked about this. David Icke has talked about this a little bit. But they have progeny, kind of secret sons and daughters and grandchildren out there that don't carry the Rockefeller name, but have been kind of secretly helped along. And this is something not too conspiratorial. And we see this in the Trump administration today with cronyism, but it's just simply nepotism. And it's nepotism on a scale that I don't think we've ever seen before. So let's just say that David Rockefeller and his type have already cloned themselves. And it's just helpful to know that the life extension therapy, I know Charlie Rose just had it, the CFR commentator, can only go take you so far. So I'm expecting Henry Kissinger to go here pretty soon. At some point, his clock is going to run out.
All right.
And his the replacements are fools, in my opinion. And this is why these guys held on to power for so long. Mm-hmm. And I know William Engel had also made a comment similar to me. And I asked him once, why are they still in power? Why haven't they, you know, really passed the torch, so to speak? Why is Henry Kissinger still advising all the presidents, right?
Right.
And I thought he succinctly agreed with me in that their education system and their cultural systems and their dumbing down has been so effective that even their successors are fools. And they didn't want to pass the torch to someone who could do even a worse job than they did. So, but the David Rockefeller program is alive and well. And there are people in the truth movement who think, you know, this is no big deal, or we shouldn't be, you know, happy that someone died, that we should take the high road. But
yeah, high road.
tell that to the tens of millions of people that have died, been murdered, or eugenicized by these very same men, and right. Then get back to me. So right. I think the world is a little bit better of a place.
Right. I mean, when I hear people say take the high road, especially with this administration, I'm like, listen, maybe it's my Brooklyn background, maybe it's my half-Sicilian side, but to me, you know, I was taught when I was a little girl, you fight fire with fire, okay? There's no way you can take the high road with people that are determined to destroy you. I mean, that's just for suckers. I mean, that's the way I see it. But,
yeah,
you know.
Look at the suffragette movement, and I think a lot of people, you know, now a little shocked at how people have been acting in response to the fascist regime of the O-Trumpa administration, as I call it. And, you know, sometimes it takes extreme measures in order to get yourself heard. So I'm not opposed to throwing a few rocks if that's what it takes. And maybe that's what it will take. And I don't know, but the Rockefeller, Kissinger, Rothschild Trump program, call it what you like, has been very successful. So we have our work cut out for us.
Absolutely. You know, I also wanted to ask you, because Chuck Barris also died last week. I think he was 87. And people were questioning his claim to having been a secret agent. Have you seen that?
Sure. Well, there's good reason for that. You know, I interviewed Chuck, Mr. Barris, just after his book came out, and he would not confirm or deny that it was fiction. He wanted people to not be sure. So, of course, they made a movie about it, and it was, you know, kind of funny in a way. Chuck was a great guy, a massive innovator, somebody whose likes of which we may not ever see again, And I love talking to him, I can tell you that. But who really knows? I believe that there are many assets. We look, you know, at people like Gloria Steinem. In this day and age, someone like Angelina Jolie. These people are used as assets.
All
now,
right.
whether or not Chuck was actually a hitman or did any actual wet work or anything more than pass notes and messages and was used in some way as a courier pigeon or an asset, who knows? But Chuck wasn't really saying.
Right. Well, he was very talented and a lot of fun, that's for sure. So whenever I think of him, I think of The Gong Show and Gene, the Dancing Machine. I mean, I still remember that stuff. I did want to ask you, Jack, because I got a lot of flack, a lot of bullshit, death threats, etc., on the Pizzagate story. And you and Chuck O'Cheli, of course, had a different take on it, as I did. And now it seems that the king buffoon had to print a retraction over whipping up the frenzy over Pizzagate. What's your feeling on all of that?
Well, I'll tell you something funny. I actually had a message from BuzzFeed this morning, and they wanted to interview me after I get done with you today on, what did you call him, King Rat?
Okay.
Oprah Jones. Yeah. So I'll be actually discussing that with them too. Okay, yeah, well, I mean, he's gonna ride whatever bandwagon is out there. He's gonna do anything he possibly can to get hits, and I don't even know how much he might have kind of colluded with the owner of the Comet Tavern, this James Afanopoulos or whatever his name is. In a way, it almost looked like they were colluding together. So the conspiracies will run rich around Oprah, that's for sure. As far as Pizzagate goes, as we know, I mean, there is definitely pedophile rings, elite pedophile rings, sex trafficking and trafficking of children, especially in light of all these refugees we have. You know, that's where they do a lot of their picking and pecking. And
right.
And that all exists. So whether or not the Comet Tavern or the Podestas or Hillary Clinton or anyone else is involved in it, it just was never proven to me. And so while it's fine to speculate, and I'm not against people having conspiracy theories, when I know this is disinformation or when it really feels like disinformation is when I'm told I have to believe it. It's like the flat earth people or the hoax people. If I don't believe it, I'm an agent or I'm a bad person somehow. And so I looked into the whole thing and found a lot of reactionary paranoia. Some of the things that turned me off, as you know about it, were they were saying punk rock bands were evil and all pedophiles. And as soon as you scratch the surface of that thing, it just didn't stand the test. So, you know, there's something there. I don't know what it is. And so recently, of course, you know, that shooter went in there and he pleaded guilty. And this shooter was supposed to have been a false flag and a hoax to get Alex Jones or some crap like that. Of course, everything's about him. And
you got to give him credit, Jack, because like Trump, you know, his hero, his messiah, these two are excellent at getting free publicity. I've never seen anybody get more free publicity than Trump and him.
Yeah. Are they good at it, though, or does the publicity and the agenda like those guys for a certain reason? And I'll go with the latter on that. So the verdict isn't in on Pizzagate. I think there needs to be a lot more done on that. And, you know, what happened to me was my really good friend in Texas, they had a pizza place over there, and the Pizzagate paranoia spread, and then they were attacked and threatened and stalked and graffitied. It got really out of hand, and innocent people were getting hurt. So you can see how, as journalists or reporters or even just commentators, we do have a certain responsibility, and that if we are irresponsible, people can get hurt.
Exactly. Or, you know, look at the frenzy Trump has whipped most people in this country into, or at least the 36% that actually like him, where everybody's getting attacked, you know. Women, Mexicans, men mistaken for being Muslims because Americans don't know the difference between one race or the other. I mean, it's just crazy watching people killing each other. And all I can think of, Jack, is divide and conquer.
Yeah, well, then that's part of the program, and it's working fabulously. Yeah, and the other thing is, regarding... conspiracies like Pizzagate and whatnot. This is distractionary politics, right? This is, I think you used to call it weapons of mass distraction, and it is. And I'm even surprised by some of the people that seem to have fallen for it. So it is a distraction. There are real things happening. On the other hand, there have been massive amounts of pedophile ring roundups, more than I've seen. This is completely not being covered by the fake stream media. And it spans actually all the way back to Obusha, all the way to Otrumpa here. So a lot of people giving Trump the credit for that, but actually this started under Obama, and there have been a serious move to start arresting these people. I guess the elite don't like the competition. I'm not exactly sure why it's happening. But if one child can be protected or saved or helped in any way, I'll be for it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I've covered the pedophile rings for so many years, you know, with David Icke especially. I don't remember which one of his books it was, maybe The Biggest Secret. But he names names, you know, people in government all around the world. I've covered all the Vatican, all the priest rapings of boys, you know, and then You look at somebody like Jerry Sandusky. Now, how come these same people that were marching in Washington and going wild over Pizzagate weren't they are not protesting in front of their churches or the Vatican or, you know, Jerry Sandusky's university? You know, the hypocrisy is ridiculous, but it's scary to see how easy it is to lead stupid people by the nose. A little.
Well, the hypocrisy of Republicans be trying to put this on Democrats when, you know, the front page of the, I guess it was the Washington Times when Reagan was in was, you know, child pedophile network. That's the Franklin cover up, as we know. And,
right.
And there were call boys going in and out of the Reagan White House. And of course, we remember that happened with little Bush, W. Bush.
Oh, yeah.
And he, had, you know, I mean, Bohemian Grove, obviously, and, you know, male call boys going in for secret visits into the W. Bush White House. So, you know, you can get off your high horse now if you're a big Reagan or Bush fan.
Exactly. You know, I remembered the name of the prostitute, the male prostitute that went in and out of the White House many times, didn't even sign in, Jeff Gannon. And now when I have to say Steve Bannon, sometimes Jeff Bannon comes out of my mouth instead.
No offense. I don't mean this to sound like it's going to come off, but I can't help it. Steve Bannon does look like a child molester, but what are you going to do?
He looks like an alcoholic, child molesting, wife-beating piece of shit is what he looks like to me. And yet, you know, look at this cabinet. I mean, come on, Jack. You and I have been together for almost 20 years. Have you ever seen anything like this in all of the 20 years?
They're draining the swamp.
Yeah, bringing it right to the top. I just can't understand how some people are still defending him. Are they not paying attention? Did they say, well, the guy we voted for won, so we don't have to pay attention anymore?
Yeah, these are the same people who didn't understand how people could defend Obama for 8 years. So, yeah, it's funny how, you know, the Kool-Aid begins to come on immediately when you think your champion of truth and justice in the American way has reached the pinnacle. Trump is being just massively handled. It's so easy to see with Ryan and Priebus and Bannon and others. This is a very high-level program, and it has been extremely effective. So I'm not here to, you know, give kudos to the elite programmers, but I gotta say, when they came up with this one, I'm laughing right now. How in the hell did we pull this off, and how is this so successful? But yes, the administration is just unbelievable. I was watching the Sonny Perdue confirmation for Secretary of Agriculture, and albeit you can't be much worse than Vilsack, the GMO Monsanto man, Vilsack, for the last 8 years. It's hard to get worse than that, but if someone can be worse, it's probably going to be Sonny Perdue.
Right.
So I've watched all the confirmation hearings. The only guy I kind of liked was the Office of Budget Management, who was a big Rand Paul guy before he got kind of stolen away by Trump. And he's having just massive problems even trying to work in the administration. But putting the head of Exxon as your Secretary of State kind of says it all.
Right. Well, what did you think of the fact that Tillerson came out and said he never met Trump before this, never wanted the job, but his wife told him God wanted him to do it?
Well, I don't know what God that is, but...
the God of this world, the God of the Kissingers, the gods of the Rockefellers, the gods of the Trump. Could it be Satan?
Right. I don't know. But I do know that, you know, his saber rattling against North Korea is a little startling. And I'm actually working on, when I get done with this, you'll be one of the first people I talk to, but I've been doing a ton of research into the thousands-year-old opium routes and drug trades. And I think a lot of people wouldn't be surprised to know that one of the axis of evil, North Korea, sits atop an immortal, scientifically immortal poppy field. So it isn't a surprise that they've become such an enemy. And we know Afghanistan is one, and the other one, believe it or not, is in Myanmar, where there's been a lot of political traffic lately. So when you begin to trace these roots going back 5,000 years, right, and who are the people that have controlled these roots, you can really make a pretty good trace of power. And it's a very interesting story that goes into, even today, the modern drug trade and who controls it and who has the power and why they do things and why certain geopolitical things happen. So I think this is all tied together.
Right.
And Tillerson is just the guy to go over there and hit the bottom line. And I know these guys right now are contemplating some kind of a strike or a neutralization against North Korea, which I think could be very dangerous. So if you think that Trump is the peacemaker, you know, a lot of his fans believe that.
He's
not interventionist. He's peacemaker.
That's
right.
Boots
are on the ground. War is escalating everywhere. And
right,
still now they believe that this is all justified. Well, war is peace if you're a Trump supporter.
Well, you know, I keep reminding people on those posts that everybody said, don't vote for Hillary. That'll be a vote for war. And here we go, as if there's a difference. But Jack, to get back to what you just said on the opium trade, I don't know if you read the book Drugs as Weapons Against Us by, I think it's John Potash, but he covers that whole history of the opium trade from like when it started hundreds of years ago. And it's very interesting. It's very well, investigated. It's a shockaroo of a book if you haven't read it. Anybody I've lent that book to, it's like they woke up for the first time in their lives.
Yeah, there is a lot of there. And bringing that into the 21st century, mm-hmm, I think is pretty important. So we've been doing offline. This work could be so sensitive that we're doing offline work. I don't work on it while I'm online. And I know that's not going to save me.
Right.
But even a lot of the people I've been talking to don't want their names used, and it's pretty sensitive stuff. And I just think that, you know, it's funny because I gave up a lot of my reporting on the drug cartels because the cartels had warned me and my source that not only will they kill us, but that no one even cares about what we're reporting. And that's a sad truth.
Yeah.
People are more consumed with their Facebook wars with the libtards or
right,
conservatives or whatever,
right,
fighting each or fighting their family, fighting their friends.
Right.
It's like the Who song. We'll be fighting in the streets with our children at our feet. That, you know, I could get the most exclusive ever on El Chapo, on the El Chapo trial, or the collusion between our intelligence agencies, the CIA, the DEA, and these drug cartels. And nobody cares. They just don't care.
No, nobody cares. Look at all these executive orders that Trump is passing, and nobody seems to care. His budget is a nightmare, slashing, you know, everything that benefits we the people. And nobody seems to care. You know what I'm saying? Even the rolling back on, you know, deregulations, you know, regulations and bringing back clean coal. There's an oxymoron. But it really does seem. I posted a video of all the dead fish in the ocean and whatnot, and it just seems like no one cares.
No, they're very distracted, and that's exactly as it's meant to be. And like I said, it's a brilliant program. I'm sure it was a gambit move, if you play chess, or a shooting the moon if you play hearts, that they never thought it would actually work, but it did, and so far so good. We are still, of course, trying to follow the important news. You know, I got to tell you, and when things are right in front of you, my drummer of my band is a teacher, and they came and snatched one of the families out of the school, and they'd been here, lived here their whole lives, okay, and deported them back to Mexico. They got an immigration lawyer, and now they're going to be able to come back. And no matter where you stand on it, you have to know that this is a paradigm in itself. This is a dialectic, the immigration dialectic. And this is what I think a lot of people have missed, and people that think, I'm an American, what do I have to worry about? But your papers have to be in order. And the fact that, and this is the thing that's really been striking me, immigration, no immigration, doesn't matter where you stand on any of that. Because obviously, hey, 7 billion people can't come live in the United States of America. We all know that, okay?
Mm.
But this dialectic means that thugs, right, bootstrap thugs can come snatch any of us off the street without any kind of habeas corpus. You have to prove. They have detained chief of police, a guy that had a Muslim name. He was the chief of police here in America, an American. They are detaining people first and asking questions later. So the fact that they have created this kind of roving force of thugs who can snatch and grab people in a way that is even unprecedented, even after what the Obama people were doing with the NDAA, should frighten people.
I know. It's like that movie V for Vendetta, when they just kidnap people or disappear people in the middle of the night. And people think that's not happening here. You know, I was in Mexico a week ago, and I met people that were deported, okay? And I can honestly tell you, Jack, not a one of them was a terrorist, okay? They were here like 20 years. They sent them back to Mexico. They don't know the terrain. They don't know anybody. There's no jobs, grandmothers, this and that. Listen, I said it a long time ago, Jack. This is about locking us down. Locking us in place. What else is they trying to achieve with all these walls?
Well, no, and it's incrementalism. It's not even that incremental anymore. And we have to always ask ourselves this question, you know, does this make you more free or less free? And there's a very good chance it makes you more free and seemingly in some kind of a danger or under some kind of a threat. Look, we are in more danger of having our jobs taken by machines than we probably are by Mexicans or something else, okay? But I understand where people are coming from, and I'm not even going to have that debate. But the answer to the question is, what makes us the most free? Is this more freedom or less freedom? And the fact that years ago I understood that people can't even adequately agree on and define what freedom is, means we have a long way to go here.
Exactly. You know, you mentioned something earlier that I haven't even touched because I think it's ridiculous, but I want to get back to it. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, we have this flat earth society bullshit going around. What is this about? I mean, I'm seeing people that I used to think were intelligent actually buying into this. I mean, where did this come from?
Yeah. John Holdren, the science czar, that was, I guess, his title under cousin Barry Obama, Obusha, had said he was going to do just this. And you people can go find the article. I'm sure you've seen it, and maybe it fell down the memory hole. But he threatened to do exactly this, to put out crazy disinformation. This is classic COINTELPRO. It's still running, to turn people against each other, to embarrass yourself. The fact that people believe this, look, I mean, the Earth is no more flat than it is a triangle. We might as well make that point. The Earth is a giant pyramid. It could be, the Earth is cat's eye. It could be anything. And even your own lying eye is against you, is conspiring against you. Even your own, like, basic common sense is conspiring against you. And forget what Newton and Galileo and these guys gave their lives for, to prove, because the church, of course, made it heresy to even say the world was round and that the earth revolved around the sun and wasn't the middle of the universe, et cetera, et cetera. These people literally gave their lives, their freedom, their careers for exactly this. And and people are falling for it. And that's fine. Look, I'm not going to tell people what to think. My problem with it is they tell me what to think.
Exactly.
And I'm not going to check out your information, okay? I'm not, I guess, call me closed-minded or whatever, but I do have a little bit of a history in astrophysics, and I'm not going to look at the video. I'm going.
It's like the Truman Show. Do they believe that there's then a wall at the end of the earth? I mean, I don't even get how people can be so easily dissuaded. It goes beyond the pale. Listen, I also wanted to get to, what do you think of?
Let me just say real quick that that wouldn't have worked 10 years ago. And the fact that it's working now says something about the direction we went in here. And there are certain people we can call out as far as bringing us in this direction. But I remember when Tom Flacco would come out with some wacko Flacco stuff and everybody would just push to the side, oh God, whatever. and Sorcha Fall, if you remember all of that.
Yeah.
What does it mean? The purposeful disinformation, people seem to be on the lookout for it. Now they're embracing it a little bit. So that says as much about, you know, how we've progressed as information hunters, as definers of truth, than it does even the program. Because this is another thing that I know the CIA or Mossad or somebody invented thinking it would never work and are surprised how well it has.
Well, the dumbing down of America is pretty much complete as far as I can see on all levels.
But remember, Karl Rove said, we define reality. Turd Blossom Karl Rove. He literally came out and said that when he was Bush's handler. We define reality. And ever since, that's been pretty true. And I think Trump is a prime example of all of that.
Absolutely. God, the buffoon in chief. Jack, we're going to take a short break. Stay with us. Jack and I will be right back. Hi, Maria here, and I have a message due to the pressure of the times we're living in. I'm calling on all students and millennials to get the education they need to fight the fascism taking over our world. I've made a special subscription offer for students and for seniors on a limited budget. For just $9.99 a month, you can subscribe and get that education. Over 500 hours of real education that's necessary to understand the world, the problems, and the solutions. Remember, knowledge is power. Together, you can change the world, but to do so, you must be informed of what's really going on and have real facts to support you in your endeavors. It's time for all the grandmothers to take a stand and teach the younger generation what their life could be and how to get there. Help me help you. One person cannot do it alone, and the guidance you seek is right here at www.maria.net, M-E-R-I-A.net. Your generation is the generation we've been waiting for, so let me help you. Thanks for listening. Okay, welcome back to Blood and Guts. It's not a regular show, but I am begging Jack to come back as often as he can, and I'm really happy to have him with me. And I wanted to ask you, you know, since Trump got in, Jack, I've been busting my hump. I mean, I've been working harder than ever. There's just too much to cover. How happy are you that you don't have to do it?
Yeah, well, I saw it coming, so, you know.
You lucky bastard.
I let fate choose for me that if Trump became president, I wasn't going to be in there fighting it every day because it's just too hard. So I try to drop little pearls sometimes before swine and keep seed planting. And if people ask me for my opinion, I'll give it. I do a few interviews here and there. But no, I'm very glad. I feel for you, my sister. Someone has to do it. I'm really glad you're still in it. That's for sure. But I'm pretty glad I'm out.
I get people begging me not to stop. You know, I never thought that day would come because I remember when my news shows were the least favorite ones of my audience many years ago. And now it's like, please don't stop. But I mean, the workload is enormous. Okay. Or what does the moron in chief call it? Bigly and huge. First of all, people are saying this healthcare shutdown that he got last week was his first fail. I don't understand how people can say that when his Muslim ban was stricken down twice. So this is his third fail. It's like saying, you know, he just went to Mar-a-Lago and played golf once. It's 13 trips. Yeah. It's 13 golf games already from a useless piece of crap who, if you remember, said that being president's a part-time job. He could do both.
Well, starting international incidents with other foreign countries. He's been very busy the last 2 months. I remember the first few months of the Bush administration, and it just couldn't have been worse. He couldn't have been more of a bumbling idiot, and the people that were even making the decisions weren't even covering their butts very well. And if you remember, we had a big issue with China. They had kidnapped some of our spies, and it got real ugly there, and the whole thing looked like a massive fail, and then came 9/11. And the next thing you know, everyone loves Bush.
Well, he
punch tended on that. But so this is exactly where Trump is. I think they know it's coming. Maybe Trump doesn't know. I still think maybe Bush didn't know exactly what was coming on September 11, 2001. But I even saw some liberals, I guess, call them that, on the Bill Maher show, and Bill Maher wholeheartedly agreeing. You remember Bill Maher wasn't too happy to hear about 9/11 truth, and he's already building the issue that Trump will, the Trump regime, the fascist Trump regime, will have a massive terror attack. They're almost applauding it and saying that this will kind of complete the trifecta for Trump, that he needs to have that. And they were going back to Hitler's Reichstag to talk about.
So, wow, that's shocking.
Funny. And this is the other thing. You listen to these guys like Bill Maher. Do you know that they're literally saying they love Bush now? That they wish Bush was back?
Right.
They miss Bush. I know in some ways they're being facetious and trying to be funny, but I think in some ways they really mean it. This is what Trump has done. He's actually made Bush a nice guy and a hero.
Right. Well, you've seen Bush on TV now that he's promoting his book and his paintings. And truthfully, he's a better painter than he could ever be a human being. All of a sudden, well, you should see him. And, you know, he's speaking out pretty much against Trump. So when you now can normalize the war criminal idiot King Bush by comparison to Trump, how bad do we have it off is what I'm thinking. But even
a lot of that is just due to there are more ways for us to attack people using social media. There's more communication, more information than ever before. But in my lifetime, and I've lived through some pretty bad presidencies, that W. Bush presidency still just can't be topped. It was just the evilest thing I've ever seen. And I don't see Trump much different. But again, I hate even talking about the bloated bastard, quite frankly. And
I call him Lardass. That's the name that stuck best. Lardass.
Yeah, I just wanted to make that point that people now, that's how this program works, is that if Jeb Bush came back, people would be happy about it.
Exactly. Well, you know, even Noam Chomsky came out this week and said that he wouldn't be surprised if Trump pulls off a false flag to legitimize himself. Remember, without 9/11, Bush was not a legitimate president. No one considered him that, because on September 12th was when the results of that consortium of newspapers that did the recount was supposed to announce the recount. So Bush made out like a bandit that day. And, you know, with this whole thing with Trump and Russia, what better to legitimize him than a false flag the size of 9/11, or maybe worse?
You know, this is the thing. Everything was going to go pretty much this way. No matter if it was O'Clinton or O'Trumpa that got in. It wasn't going to matter. The fact is there are just some things Democrats are better at doing than Republicans and vice versa. So this is why we do the 8-year shift. I mean, again, we all knew that a Republican would be in 2016. We just probably couldn't have conceived that they would have gotten away with the Trump thing. But he's doing a lot of the same things, and we're just going a different route, taking different streets to get to the same destination. So, and I've actually posted a few things on my news Facebook page, which is Jack Blood News at Facebook.com/Jack Blood News, that shows the comparisons between the last 4 or 5 presidents. There really isn't much change. Although, for instance, Republicans are better at legislating guns out of the hands of Americans. That's something Democrats have a heck of a time trying to do. So there's just some things that one party can do a little bit better than others. And this is the constant merry-go-round that we're on. God, politics, Maria. How do we do it? How do we even talk about it?
I don't know. I mean, I really was thinking myself of just quitting, too. I said, well, Jack had a good idea. But, you know, listen, I don't even know why I keep doing it. But who else is going to do it? You know what I mean? You guys all jumped ship before I got the chance to try it. But you know how many times since Trump's become the illegitimate president that I've referred to him as Bush? I use their names almost interchangeably. My brain is just wired that way. And I have to laugh at myself even on the show. I'm like, Trump, I'm Bush, I'm Trump, I'm Bush. It's like Bannon, Gannon. After a while, you just can't dance that fast. I did want to ask you, though, what's your opinion about this whole Russian probe and all the irregularities around this?
Well, definitely. Look, like I said, the program has to work either way. So Russia has to be demonized, no matter who the president is. That's important because it allows the military and security industrial complex to continue to grow exponentially at light speed. So, you know, whether that's being used to get to that paradigm or whether it's actually happening almost doesn't matter. I've been reading, my friend has a site called The Weaklings. It's spelt like day of the week, theweaklings.com. And they've been doing some excellent connecting the dots to the Russian mafia, Edward Snowden, Putin, Pootie-Poo, and all of this. And so, yeah, they're certainly, they are connected. They definitely are connected. And I guess if there was a will and a way, Trump could be impeached. This is certainly the Logan Act, if not worse. So, and no one has actually been prosecuted under the Logan Act, which was constantly used. That is, you know, siding with a foreign interest over your own. It actually came out under John Adams, and no one has ever been prosecuted under it. But this, maybe this could be the first one. It's still in the books.
Well, hey, so if so, everything if is Trump, everything with this election's unprecedented, so why not impeach? But not just impeach, you know, if this is proven. They need to get his entire cabinet and his bullshit Supreme Court pick out. I mean,
well, they do want Pence in. I know the Republicans would rather have Pence and not have to deal with Ochoa here. So both sides kind of have a means to an end. But you know why it's not going to happen? Because there's kind of a gentleman's agreement at the bar where both sides agree now not to try to impeach each other, because they know then it's going to be their turn. So I really don't expect that to happen. And I got bad news unless somebody guns down Trump in the street, and that's very likely to happen, or something worse happens, he's going to be your president for 4 years. That's almost assuredly going to happen. In the meanwhile, we are escalating the Cold War. The military-industrial complex is making money hand over fist by approving the, I call it the Capstone Pipeline.
Right.
Right? Some of these other pipelines, it's the Keystone Pipeline, but it might as well be the Capstone Pipeline, which the Kochs, that's really the only thing they really wanted. This has benefited Bechtel and Halliburton and the oil services community in ways that, I mean, Merry Christmas. It's Christmas for the oil services industry. So everybody's getting theirs. All the cronies are getting paid. Everybody's happy in that regard. And until he turns on his masters like JFK did, you know, he'll be there.
Yeah, I don't think he has the balls to do that. And he's just so criminally connected to so many dangerous people that I don't think he would have the guts to do that. Let alone the brain power.
They're just keeping him in line. That's it.
Well, what do you think of his daughter? Do you think his daughter is one of his handlers moving into the White House?
No, I think she's if there is such a thing as a monarch, she's one.
And, you know, everybody's got their hopes and prayers on Ivanka and Jared, like they're, you know, Jackie O and John Kennedy. Who the hell elected those two Zionists to be in office? I don't understand how people are just sitting back and letting this guy break law after law, you know, go against the ethics laws that have been in place, divestment laws, still refuses pass the law that he won't show his tax returns. To me, this guy's, that's an obvious sign of cover-up and guilt.
These are all the things Obama did and that were okay just a few months ago. So, you know, I'm not going to single out the Republicans. I'm never going to be that guy. I didn't like particularly how the Patriot movement was really just a cover, and so was the Libertarian Party, a cover for being a Republican. I felt really swindled on that whole deal. What a bunch of sellouts and conformists. So that really set our work back pretty good. But, you know, look, Obama put out the Stock Act, and he did. Look how rich he made Wall Street. Come on, let's be honest.
Of course, and they're about to get even richer too. I agree. He was no saint. Look, Obama was no saint. You know, I covered the good, the bad, and the ugly with all of them. But it looks like Trump's on a deliberate spiral to undo the few good things that Obama did, and I'm talking about environmentally. And a little bit for people's rights, you know, gay people, gay marriage, adoption, you know, that kind of thing. But Obama was, you know.
He supported gay marriage and then also supported gay dictators that killed gays, is what Obama did. And he was against it, as you know, before he was cajoled by our consensus to be for it. I'm not even going to go down that road. I'll give him that one, I guess. Definitely give him being the pot president. I rather enjoy that living here in Washington, I can tell you. High-grade marijuana is basically free here in Washington.
Good
it's
for
awesome.
You.
Hopefully, Jeff Sessions will be rolling that back because, like, people are definitely a little paranoid about that. I'll give him Cuba. So, I mean, there's definitely some things that I liked that Obama did. He wasn't as bad as Bush, if I guess, in the quantum world of trying to gauge which evil is less than the other one.
Shit or stink, I understand. But listen, Adam, what were there, 15? Were there 15 candidates running this year on the Republican ticket? Out of all 15, not that any of them were any good. The chances of them picking Trump, I thought, were next to nil.
No, because the media gave him all that free publicity, as you mentioned earlier. So he was chosen. He was chosen, and we should have known it then. But again, this is so unprecedented. It's very hard to contemplate it into a prediction or into words. The most important thing people have to understand is if you support a president, okay, for whatever reason, I'm going to let you – I'm not going to, you know, call you an idiot. You might have good reasons. Maybe it's been good for you, okay? No president is good for this guy because I'm always the guy that gets picked on. But just remember this. All the power you gave the executive branch in Obama got passed to Trump. You did that by allowing that to happen and the drone attacks and the warrantless searches and everything that happened under Obusha, as I was calling him, a cousin Barry. Now that torch gets passed to Trump. So remember, all you people that support Trump and love his executive orders and all the wrecking that he's doing and the things that you justify that he does will be passed to whether it's Bernie or Elizabeth Warren, or say they come up with an actual real candidate for the Democrat Party.
I don't know where to find one, although they're looking at this young Kennedy pretty strong right now.
Yeah, he's kind of good. He's not bad.
No, I kind of like him too. But, you know, they got the Kennedy curse. You know, Kennedys don't live long when they step into politics.
You give Trump all this power, you Trump supporters. I don't know if any listen to your show, but I'm telling them
not.
A few.
I think a few of them that did already canceled their subscription a goodly while ago.
That's going to the next guy. So that's why we did support Ron Paul. I didn't always agree with him. He was going to limit the power of the executive branch and restore equal powers. So, I mean, that sounds good to me. Everything else is a lie and a campaign promise, which you've seen Ochumpa already breaking them. So I'm glad Ochumpacare failed because it was actually worse than the so-called Obamacare. Obamacare does help people. Of course, I think I would do a better job. I'm half an idiot, and I could do a better job on freaking health care or sick care, as I know you were calling it.
Right.
I think we could find, you know, a high school dropout and go, here's the puzzle, put it together. And they could do it. So the fact that with all of the limitless resources our government has, can't do it, shows me that they don't want to do it, and that the insurance companies and the pharmaceutical companies and everybody else is enjoying, you know, living off the fat of the land, and it's not going to change until that changes.
Exactly. Well, I always say there's no care in the word health care, and that's the beginning of the problem. But, you know, we heard so much about, you know, he's going to bring jobs back, we're going to bring you jobs, blah, blah, blah. Kicks the Mexicans out. California raises their pay to try to get people to come pick their fields. No one shows up because Americans don't want those jobs. And like you said earlier, Jack, AI is replacing jobs like nobody's business. And yet, you know, you think back to Ross Perot. Remember when he was chased out of the at the race of being president, when he warned that this was exactly the economic state that Americans would find themselves in?
Yeah, you know, when I was a kid, I grew up in Washington, which is farm area, and the kids would go pick the, you know, I know kids don't work these days. They're too busy on, you know, playing games or on their iPhones or whatever, and they can't be bothered to do hard labor or work. It made a man out of me. No. So I went and picked strawberries and apples and did stuff like that. And instead of those kids taking jobs and driving down wages, you know, in the service industry or wherever we might even see them if they do work today. So there is a solution for that. And as far as migrant workers go, great. But if I were them, I'd rather work in my own country. So I don't know what a great deal it is for them to go work under the hot sun under horrible circumstances. And again, I've done it. I don't, you know, know how we're really helping them that
right.
much.
And being hated and treated like shit, too. Let's not leave that out.
Yeah.
You know, and it's funny because when you come across the border back into the United States from Mexico, they ask you if you have any Mexican produce in the car because that's illegal. Okay. But what's interesting, Jack, here in Arizona, we get all our produce from Mexico. Half of it's from Mexico, half's from California. But I guess you can't bring it in without paying taxes on it.
Yeah.
So it's so ridiculous. When you look at it, it's so ridiculous. And when I saw the size of the vegetables that they have in Mexico, they make our food look like it's not even real. I mean,
yeah, no, and their Cokes are even better. The Mexican Cokes are even better for you with cane sugar rather than corn syrup, right?
Right.
So, hey, look, there's a lot of good things there. I'm waiting for, this is protectionism, and it is going to trickle down onto the poor people. It is regressive the way it's situated. So I'm waiting for Trump to make these big deals. We saw the failure on healthcare and then some of these other deals. I'm waiting for some of these deals. And as far as I'm concerned, Trump needs to stay away from the coffee because coffee is for closers only.
I can't close the deal. I call it the art of the fail. I mean, this guy had no idea how government runs. Nobody in his cabinet does, as a matter of fact, and just thought he could do whatever he wants. I mean, yesterday he came out with, because of that woman that's suing him for rape and physical harassment and whatnot, said that as long as he's president, he can't be sued. I mean, how dumb is this guy?
I don't know, Nixon dumb? I don't know.
I think so. I think Nixon
out dumb. Out the loop. Yeah, he's loopy. I really think something, because he was at one point fairly intelligent. If you go back and listen to him, even from 1980, I saw an interview with him on Charlie Rose, I think it was, and it's not even the same guy. Not
well,
even the
maybe
same.
It's, you know, some people said a lot of those drugs he's on for his hair, you know, he's on one of those hair drugs. That it creates, you know, senility, it creates problems, you know, prostate problems, your penis shrinks, I mean, all kinds of side effects. But maybe that, coupled with the fact that he's a big-time fat slob meat eater who lives on junk food, I'm praying that he keeps eating that way and drops dead soon. But there's something seriously wrong with him, and I don't understand how his cabinet and all the Republican Party could just sit back and accept all the insanity coming out of this guy.
Oh, he's old, though. And, you know, you're right about all of that. And it's interesting because the Obamas were very clued into macrobiotic food. You know, I interviewed the chef from the White House, and I was told how they grew all their own food under protection from the chemtrails. And they were very smart, didn't eat things out of aluminum cans. They were really intelligent about that. And it's super, super healthy. And for Trump to be the opposite, and that just kind of shows, you know, one thing about Obama I did like for sure was that he was the first president that I've ever had in my lifetime that's my age.
Right.
And so we went back to the baby boomer again. No offense to you baby boomers, but we went back to the guys, the Clinton, the Bush age guys, and put a 70-year-old guy in office. It just shows how desperate we must be. There's got to be some young, charismatic people out there that aren't pure evil that can, you know, break through now that fake news has been exposed by the Donald and all the rest of it, can break through these paradigms and get to a position of mass appeal. It just has to be. I'm hoping that if that's the one thing that Trump has done, has leveled the playing field so that anybody can be president, I guess, as they used to say, is maybe a little more of a potentially real thing than it was before. But, of course, that would also be delusional, I'm sure.
Right, but, I mean, his whole cabinet looks like an assisted living home, okay? I mean, I hate to say it, and I've been in assisted living homes because I had to go for therapy, and I'm not embarrassed to say Trump's 3 years older than me. I could never handle that job. I can't even handle covering Trump. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, what the hell? I think there should be an age limit, nobody older than 50, because they don't have the stamina for it. Unlike Trump, other presidents realize it's a full-time job.
But you're out of touch. He's just out of touch. He can't possibly understand people of even my generation, let alone the millennial generation. He can't. So their natural reaction would be to be afraid and then to punish. So that, what could you even expect? But here we are at this point, and now an hour has gone by, and look at all the Trump talking we did. See
well,
how well the program has worked.
But we have to, because who else is going to cover this side of him? Listen, even people I used to respect in our field, Jack, they're on the Trump bandwagon. I feel like I'm all alone. I feel like that guy in Legend, you know, where you're the last one left on the planet that can look at this guy critically. Everybody's swooning over him, and I feel like I'm on Planet of the Apes.
Morpheus. order out of chaos, that works both ways.
All right.
So, but,
well, Jack, that's why I always love having you on my show, Jack.
We need to get a little funding and create these kind of really nice resort vacation spots where people can be deprogrammed. Is that because if we do it in luxury, they'll go for it. Just come for some spa treatment and then secretly using subliminals or whatever technology is available to us to deprogram them completely so that they can have their own minds back.
Absolutely. Good idea. Jack, I can't thank you enough for joining me today. You helped me stay sane, and I respect you at the top of the list of real journalists.
Thank you so much, and you know I love you, and people, support this show. Support this show. Definitely do it, because you never know what you got till it's gone. Love you, Maria, so much. Stay bold, everybody.
Thanks, Jack. Take care. I'll talk soon. Jack Blood, one of the best out there. Thank God he still offers to come on my show. Anyway, thanks so much for listening, and I guess I'll see you guys tomorrow when I'm back with News of Planet of the Apes, and as usual, there's already plenty of it.
Thank you for listening and supporting the Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.